Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's good to be with you as always. Anita Rosen is our guest, and she's the author of the e-commerce question and answer book. Ladies and gentlemen, this lady has been around a while, but in terms of the internet, that doesn't mean that she's very old. That just means that, you know, you can be a pioneer in the internet and still be a child, and she still is a child. She's one of the experts in the world on e-commerce, and she shares her thoughts with us, and we're very grateful for that. Anita, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks. It's great to be back on the show.
And I think I mentioned the book, but I want to mention it again. It's now in its second edition, the e-commerce question and answer book, a survival guide for business managers, and it's published by Amacom. Anita, I still give you credit all the time for introducing us to the concept of e-business, of reminding us that, you know, many of us we kept talking about e-commerce this, e-commerce that. And you reminded us, and you talk about this all the time, that really we should be thinking of the overarching concept, which is e-business, under which is e-commerce and e-shopping and that sort of thing.
Yes. If you look at it, e-commerce is just the best analogy is going to a store. If you go to a store, checking out and actually purchasing your product, that's the e-commerce piece. But there's an awful lot more that's involved with a store. If you're doing customer support over the line, over the web, which it could be emailing customer support or having information up on your website on support questions for your company, your products,
mm-hmm.
That's not e-commerce. That's e-business.
Mm-hmm.
Other aspects of your business beside the actual purchasing and shopping piece of it is e-business.
Mm-hmm. Well,
just think about a store. There's other things stores do than just show you merchandise and let you purchase it.
Yeah, you go by a home improvement company, one of the big box companies to get some ideas about what's available, just to look at products.
Classes.
Yeah, just to look at exactly training classes, just to look at products or whatever it might be. So the thing is, and all of that adds value to your relationship with your customers, doesn't it?
Yep, it sure does.
So think about it like that, and you know one of the reasons why I think that's important to bring out again, Anita, is because, as you know, the e-commerce component is the most expensive component, the highest maintenance aspect of all this that we can have. And so many small business owners, you know, that's the last step that they take is e-commerce because of the expense. And so the good news is you can still have a very valuable, a very helpful, a very useful and an important website for your customers without doing e-commerce.
The biggest question, number one question I ask people when they're starting to develop a site or they have an established site is what are the biggest issues you have with your business with getting information to your customers?
Mm-hmm.
Because most people have internet access today. So you know you can get information to them by the web. So what are the questions customers are asking you, and what's the information you want to get out to your customers? That's the stuff you want to put on your website.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's talk for a little bit, Anita, about how to market our website. You know, one of the things that's been going on since day one of people having websites is how do we get people to our sites? How do we let people know that we're here, that we're online, that we've got some things that we'd like for people to see, and we'd like to drive traffic to our website? That's probably the longest quest that anybody's had since we've had commercial websites, but still it's a confusion for a lot of people, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And you know what? Business hasn't changed with the internet. It's the exact same business before and after. The difference is now we have a different medium that we can conduct our business on. And before you had website, How did you get people to find out about your company? How did you get them to find out about your product?
Mm-hmm.
After the internet, you shouldn't stop doing what you're doing that's successful. The other thing is the methodology that you use to measure success before and after. I'm sure if you put an ad in the Yellow Pages and you don't get a single person calls you up and says, I saw you in the Yellow Pages, the next year you're not going to put it back in the Yellow Pages.
Mm-hmm.
If you get 1,000 people that say, I saw your ad in the Yellow Pages, the next year when the Yellow Pages guy calls you, you're going to put it back in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the exact same methodology that you use for the internet.
Mm-hmm.
What I tell people is don't stop thinking because you have an internet site.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, we're going to get Anita to tell us how to leverage our message out there, how to get our message in places where it will lead people, get those breadcrumbs out there where it'll lead people back to our website. That's coming up right after these messages. It's 20 till. Stay with us. We're back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Robert Thomas is going to join us, and we're going to talk about something he calls geeks and geezers, how the different eras that we've lived in define our values. And then we'll be visiting with Wally Bach, and he's another one of our online experts. Sandra Poole Crystal will join us after that, and then Steve Martin will help us do some work on our profitability. And by the way, on Thursday, Steve Forbes is going to be back on the show. Looking forward to getting Steve back on, and we'll have a lot of fun with him. We're talking to our good friend Anita Rosen, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of the e-commerce question and answer book, now in its second edition. And folks, you know what that means. That means it's an outstanding book. When it gets into the second edition, and a publishing company like Amicon puts it out again, and it'll probably be a third edition any day now, and that tells you that it's an outstanding book, and it's a survival guide for business managers, especially with regard to e-commerce. And I certainly recommend that you check it out. And as you know, you've heard me say it before, let's say it all together, no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Anita, your website is readygo.com.
Correct.
Tell us what we'll find when we get there.
Well, I really have a software company. And what you'll find there is information on, I have a tool that lets you create courses, training for the web.
Mm-hmm.
So I got into it from consulting with e-commerce, and that was one of the areas that I saw a hole in the market, because one of the things people want to do when they get to a website or have people come to their website is train them on mm-hmm. their products, train them on information, train them on concepts, and it's not that easy getting training classes up there.
Right.
So I saw a hole in the market and said, well, why don't we produce a tool to make it real easy so you can produce training courses on your website.
And you've done that. It's called the ReadyGo Web Course Builder, right?
Correct.
And it's available there. You can download a trial version of it. And I see here you got it up in several languages. So, folks, go to ReadyGo.com, and you can see it's in addition to English. I'm looking at 8 different languages.
Correct.
So check that out when you get a chance, folks. And there's a lot of other good things there that Anita makes available, and she's a contributor to our website as well, folks. Many times you'll see articles that she's written, and of course we have archives of her visits on our show up there as well. Anita, let's talk about getting those breadcrumbs out there to lead people back to our website. If you just put up a website, and you know, unless you've got something that's really going to create some viral marketing, some viral activity, and getting people to buzz about your site, You've got to come up with a plan to get people back to your site, don't you?
Right, right. And it depends upon, are you a new business or an existing business? The biggest thing is don't forget what you currently have if you're an existing business. It's just one more avenue. So if you're an existing business, every single thing that you do should have a link to a website.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have business cards, your business cards should have your website address, your URL on it. If you have brochures, every single thing. If you have a truck, your truck should have your website address.
If you have a tattoo, it should be a tattoo of your website.
Right. It's no different than your phone number. Any place that you think about putting your phone number,
right,
you should have your website. It's another
mm-hmm.
way of getting a hold of you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the classic. And same thing with any advertising that you currently do. Everything
mm-hmm.
should have it in there. Don't forget the obvious. Then there's new ways, new channels, now that you have the web. And And these change all the time because, you know, pop-up ads. 7-8 years ago, pop-up ads were unbelievably effective. Advertising on the web, you got about a 4% return, which is really high.
That's a home run, yeah.
Yeah. And then it became a 3% and then a 2%. And now it's just annoying and people don't pay attention to
it. Now there's software to prevent the pop-ups.
You got it.
Yeah.
And pop-ups are going away because they're not effective. People are saying,
right.
Oh, shoot, I'm not getting much of a return. So it moves and it changes.
Banner click-throughs are not as effective as they used to be.
Right. Same thing with email blast. People would say, oh, you know, there's two terms. There's email blast and there's spam.
Mm-hmm.
And spam is unsolicited.
Right.
Email blast is solicited.
That's where you have opted in. You have told them it's okay to send you stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have a customer list and you're sending them out an email blast.
Permission marketing.
Permission marketing as opposed to a spam, which is not permission.
For example, I never had heard the term email blast before. But, for example, my newsletter goes out to 10,000 people every week. We send each one of them an individual email, not a blind copy. We send them their own email, 10,000 of them.
And that's an email blast.
Mm-hmm. But these are all people who said that they wanted to receive the letter.
Right. And what we're finding is both. I mean, spam is hated.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could say is if you don't like it, don't send anything back, which says get delete me. Just delete them and move on.
Yeah, and that's really hard to do. Sometimes you really want to get back with them, but I learned that a long time ago. That you know, a lot of times the spammers give you the unsubscribe option, and really all that does is confirm that you're out there and you got a valid email.
Right.
It helps them to become, you know, helps them to find you and send some stuff to you again. So you just get over it or come up with a good spam filter. But that's one way is to do it doing the but before. You can get permission, you know, that's the chicken.
You need to know who they are.
The egg, before you can get permission, you got to have these people find you first.
Right. So then you're saying, so how do I go about finding them? Well, now one of the most effective ways, those search engines are in a very effective way to have people find you.
Yep. More and more, I'm finding people are finding us through search engines. Every day it gets better and better for us.
Right.
But we're learning more and more about how to use the search engines. And how to be available in the search engines. And when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want you to tell us what you think is the best way to do that. And folks, this is something that you can learn, but you have to relearn about every 90 days because the rules change. We'll get Anita to tell us about that right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Anita Rosen is our guest. She's the author of the e-commerce question and answer book. And this is Steely Dan. They'll take us out. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Anita Rosen is our guest. She's the author of the e-commerce question and answer book. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to buy this book and put it. I don't want you to have this book on your bookshelf. I want you to have it on your desk. This is one of those books that you shouldn't even after you read it, you shouldn't put it on your bookshelf. You should put it on your desk where you can get a hold of it because this is something that really you ought to be spending time on every week, if not every day, understanding a little bit more about how to use the internet to your advantage. And one of those ways, oh, by the way, Anita, the book's available wherever books are sold, I know.
Yes.
And can they also get it on your website? Can they link
nope.
from there? Okay.
Nope. Got to go to Amazon or one of the other book sites.
One of the other bookstores. And the last name is Rosen, Anita Rosen. Anita, let's talk about the search engines now for a few minutes. The search engines really are good ways to get connected to the world. And to get people to back to your site, but it's not easy to get well positioned there, is it?
Well, you know, it just takes a little bit of work. The big problem that I see with most businesses, especially small businesses, is they don't really want to be involved with their website. What they want to do is they want someone else to do it. Okay, yeah, now I have it. It's a check mark. It's done.
Right.
I see this with training classes. We have a tool that makes it really easy for the content expert, like the small business owner, to create a training class and put it up there. And there's so many of them that say, can't someone else do it for me? And it's like, well, does anyone else know your content that you want to put up there?
Right.
Do they understand your business? Well, what it is people say, oh, but I don't really want to get involved with this. It's not that hard. It's just that it's new and people, they just want to have someone else do it.
Well,
you know,
and
what? You can't have someone else do your business.
It's a new world, though. I mean, talking about meta tags and directories and all that, I got to tell you, I mean, I understand how people feel that way because, I mean, as you know, I'm a little more inclined to be interested in this than the average bear. And when we were rebuilding our website, I mean, after a while, you know, I kind of zoned out on some of it too. But I made sure that I hired people who could do it.
And you need,
but you know what? They did have to spend time with me though.
Yeah, and you have to be 100% involved. It's like
building a new office. You're right.
You don't want to sit there and say to the contractor, build me a beautiful office, and when it's done, let me come in and take a look at it. Or if you're building a house for yourself, you don't say to the contractor, build me a beautiful house, and when it's done, I'll come there. You need to be, even if you have someone that's project managing it, you still need to be at that house, or you need to be at that office every single day to make sure it's going the way you expect.
Right.
And anyone that's built one will tell you. You need to be there.
But you've got to have people, if you're the business owner, like as in my case, you've got to have people who know how to reach out and touch these search engines and speak that language. You've got to hire somebody that can do that. And it's not that expensive. It's not prohibitive at all, but you've got to hire people who know how to speak that language and how to overlay those transparent connections that the search engines make with your website. Those people have to know how to do that.
Right, and the big thing is business people are saying, well, I don't know anything about it, so how can I hire someone that knows something about it?
Well,
and
that's not a good
ways.
Excuse, though.
If you don't know anything about building a house, how do you hire someone to build a house for you?
Right, right.
First of all, ask your friends. Did they build a house? Did they find someone? Why do they like that person? So do your homework up front.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is when you interview the person, ask them some of the basics. You know, if I'm doing a website, if you're doing a website for me, how are you going to make this website good for the search engine?
Mm-hmm.
And if they come and look at you and say, I don't know anything about it, okay.
Yeah.
That's not the person.
Right.
You know, and after you've interviewed two or three people, you're going to start getting an idea, okay, all these people are saying the same thing, so I guess this is stuff that I need to know.
Well, and folks, one of the things, you know, if you get a new product in, you got a chance to sell a new product that you think is really going to be successful, you're going to invest the time to find out all about that so you can sell it. This is another one of those things where it's worthy. This project is worthy of your time to become knowledgeable about, as Anita was saying. Also, is it a good idea to ask for references?
Of course.
Yeah.
Would you have someone build a house without asking for references?
Yeah. Just say, tell me who you built a website for that I can talk to. I'd like to make sure that, you know, I'd like to see how you worked with them.
Okay. Then there's a couple of things that you can actually do on your website that you should be telling them.
20 seconds.
And the number one thing is find the keywords that people use to find your business and make sure you use those keywords throughout your website.
Mm-hmm. Those are the meta tags, aren't they?
Nope.
Keywords?
Just not even the meta tags. Mm-hmm. Just using those words in all the text on every single page within your website.
Yep, that's the big deal. That's really important for the search engines, isn't it?
Correct.
Anita, thank you for being here. Good job, good information, as always. The book is called The E-Commerce Question and Answer Book by Anita Rosen. Thank you, Anita.
Okay, my pleasure.
See you next time.
Okay.
I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.